Tom Bennett is one of the stars in the new Family Tree on HBO. Have you seen it yet?
Yes,
it's a great show. And he plays the friend. You know, I suspect he always gets roles where he is the friend, but we'll find out from him. He's with us now in the middle of the Sussex countryside. Tom Bennett. Hey, Tom, how are you? Hi, Tom Bennett.
Hi there. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Are you actually in the countryside itself?
I am actually in the Sussex countryside itself. It's exactly what you'd expect the English countryside to look like.
Well, as you look around, what do you see?
Rolling hills, lots of trees, beautiful clouds, and gorgeous sun.
Ah. Do you have badgers there? Do you have badgers there? I know there's a badger problem.
We do have badgers. They're very dangerous. You try and avoid them at all costs.
Yeah. Where do they appear?
They're vicious.
They appear at intersections and that sort of thing?
Yeah.
Are they unafraid of people, of English people?
Yeah, the foxes. Foxes are the ones that are really unafraid.
Yeah.
They'll go through your bins. They'll get into your house. They'll sleep in your bed if you let them.
Ah. The badgers stay outside, though.
Yeah, the badgers don't like indoors, but the foxes are very homely animals.
They are?
Yeah.
Okay. Hard to believe you play a zookeeper on this show and you have such low opinions of animals.
Well, who knew we'd get onto animals so quickly? Yeah.
But do you have those hedges there? What kind of, do you have hedgerows?
Yes, hedgerows and nice kind of fences. I'm just currently sitting under a tree, as it's the only spot I can get reception.
Oh, that sounds so idyllic.
It is pretty idyllic, and there's a 4-year-old's birthday party going on next door. So it's all go here.
It is, and you just had a baby. Is that true?
Well, I did. Yes, I have a 9-week-old baby girl.
Fantastic. Tom Bennett has had a baby girl.
And thank you. Thank you very much.
And it's funny because your character. What's his name?
Pete Stupples.
Yeah. Did that episode where he wanted a baby really badly.
That was a very interesting day because Christopher Guest had given me something, you know, he placed something else in my brain to think about. Mm-hmm. And then 30 seconds before we shot that talking head to camera, mm-hmm. he kind of came over and just went, yeah, no, forget that. Do something else about fatherhood. So that kind of talking head and monologue literally was just, it was me imagining what it's going to be like for me to actually be a dad. It all came from quite a good place.
Yeah, you know, and we have a little piece of that. Would you mind if we played it from the...
Please, it'll be terribly embarrassing for me, but please do.
Right, come on in, Taurus. Step one, impregnation, getting you in the mood. For love making. Oh, look at her. Eh? You know she's got a really long neck and little short, stubby legs and a great big arse.
I don't know what's up with Taurus. And he might not be ready to be a dad. Do you know what? If someone was, because I was there watching him, telling him to get hard, and that's an added level of pressure and anxiety that no bloke needs, and no one wants that to happen. But imagine being a dad, how cool would that be? I'd love to be a dad. I've got to find the right girl first. None of the girls I'm seeing at the moment they're not mother material. One of them is a mother, but hers are like 16 and 18. I met her at an over 40s night in Catford, and she's a terrible mum. Actually, so none of the ones I'm seeing would be. But if I meet the right girl, I'm happy to have a baby, and it'd be a little bait, and I'd wear it on a papoose, and then I'd push him on the swings and the roundabouts. Then I'd have a go because I still love playgrounds, especially when drunk.
So was that all improvised then?
Yeah, can't you tell?
Oh, I think
it's awful.
No, I think it's brilliant. It's brilliant.
Well, to explain to your listeners, the top end of that sequence, I am trying to artificially inseminate an alpaca.
Yes.
at the zoo. So that.
I thought that was obvious. Maybe it wasn't to everyone.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you can see what you're looking at. Okay. Great. Good. Good.
It was a brilliant moment for Stubbles, I would say, for Pete.
I think it's one of his finest moments. Yeah.
But for the scene itself, you were just told to talk about the alpaca, or.
Yes, so we knew I was artificially inseminating an alpaca, and that wasn't going too well. And then, at the 11th hour, Christopher Guest just said, "Okay, just talk about how you'd like to be a dad for 5 minutes," and that's what happened.
Yeah, and you know we used that bit at the end of it. At least we did a Father's Day show where it's supposed to be guys who were at the point where they wanted to have a baby, they hadn't had a child yet. You know, guys wanting babies, and we got some very strange results, actually.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
Not quite Pete Stubbles. It was a little darker.
But oh, dear, it got dark. Right.
So, I love Phone Shop.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much.
That's a brilliant show. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. It's an awful lot of fun to make.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you a writer on that as well?
Well, it's semi-improvised. So our creator, Phil Bowker, will write a script, and then we'll go into a room together for 6 weeks, and we'll get it up on its feet, and we'll workshop it, and then we'll throw the scripts away and kind of improvise around it. So by the time we come to shoot it, we know it back to front, and we've added our little ticks, and we've put it into our own words. So, yeah, it's a very... workshop and improv-led show. Yeah.
And you were on the EastEnders, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I've done EastEnders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not
yeah,
still.
If you're, any kind of actor in England, you have to have been on EastEnders at least once.
Who did you play on that?
I played a bit of a tow rag called Steve, who got a character named Bradley into trouble with his girlfriend by taking him to a strip club.
Oh, okay.
So I was a bit of a wheeler dealer, a bit of a boy in a suit.
Yeah, is that what a tow rag is then, a wheeler dealer?
Essentially, it's a nice word for the ruder versions of what he actually is.
Yeah, cool.
But tow rag is a nice way to put it.
I wonder why some of those phrases never came over.
I know, some of them don't translate, do they?
No.
They don't quite have the impact you'd like them to.
Yeah, and it happens somewhat in Family Tree as well, especially when you are speaking.
Yes, I can well imagine that lots of the audience don't have a clue what I'm talking about.
Yeah, somewhat.
Yeah.
But that adds to it for us because we love it.
Well, you hope that adds to the kind of quirky, fish-out-of-water nature of the piece, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so working with Christopher Guest, and that must be quite a treat.
It's a dream come true. Is he one of my heroes, but you know he's my hero's hero. He's the man. He's the godfather of improvisational comedy. So to get to spend 8 weeks working with him is an absolute joy that I'll never forget.
Yeah, and Chris O'Dowd as well, I would say.
Oh yeah, O'Dowd's brilliant. He's exactly what I think you'd want Chris O'Dowd to be like in real life. You know, a larger-than-life, charming, loud, charismatic Irishman. It was great working with both the Chrises. They're both brilliant.
He's funny. Isn't this character so funny? Because he's smart and stupid at the same time, almost simultaneously.
It's a very difficult, and I respect him a lot, because it's a very difficult balance to get right. I'm quite lucky in that Pete is just an idiot.
He's an idiot.
He's just an idiot. There's no middle ground with him. There's no grey areas.
Right.
It is black and white with him. He's an idiot.
Right.
Whereas, Chris has a lot more of a balancing act to do. So, yeah, he's got a tough job.
I have to say, you did one of the best walking into a pole things I've ever seen.
Well, that makes me feel... That really makes me feel good because I am a big, big fan of pratfalling and tripping over. My dad used to do it for a living.
Really?
Yeah, my dad was a children's entertainer over here telly on the BBC in the 80s.
Oh.
And pretty much for 10 years, he made a living tripping over in the back of shop and having paint pots fall on his head and walking into door frames. So it's the... I'm very pleased that you spotted that and you enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, you and Chris, or whatever his character is called, we're walking down the street, and you were in mid-conversation of making some ridiculous statement and walked...
Oh, ridiculous.
Smacked into a pole without, you know... It was perfect because you knew...
I was very pleased with it.
Yeah.
You never quite know how pratfalls are going to go, but yeah. that was a nailed one. I pretty much got that.
First,
and I bump into the tree and then kind of stumble off the curb as well.
Yeah.
So you got double impact.
Yeah. Did you have to retake that at all, or is that a first take?
We did it a couple of times. I think we only... Christopher only tends to do three takes of anything, but I banged into the tree three times, but that was obviously the best one, which probably was the first one, to be honest.
Yeah, and then boxing with a child.
yeah.
That can't be
boxing
an easy...
with a child. That's the title of my autobiography. boxing with a 12-year-old child.
That can't be an easy scene to do, really.
It's not an easy thing. Well, the interesting thing is that the child I was boxing is a professional boxer. this was only his second acting job, but he'd been a boxer for 6 years. So he couldn't quite understand throwing your punches.
Yeah.
So, I got hit a couple of times.
So he wasn't holding back. He really hit you.
He was not holding back. Yeah. They're bullshit at that age, and they want to prove their dominance, and he did on several occasions.
Yeah.
So the shots that you used, there probably was contact made.
Yeah. Yeah.
But hey, as long as they get the shot, I'm happy for it to go in.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. Have you did you box at all as a youth? Did you,
no, I've never boxed.
No.
I've never boxed. In the same way Pete has never boxed, but likes to think of himself as a bit of a mixed martial artist.
Yes, right off the bat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then of course, the pantomime horse. Now, first of all, is there such a thing as pantomime animal races in England?
Well, it's exactly the sort of thing that there would be in England, actually. I've never attended one, but I can well imagine they exist. And probably sell out. We do have a glorious tradition of pantomime in this country,
mm-hmm.
and it is the pinnacle of any British actor's career to play the front or back end of a pantomime horse.
Yeah, either one will do.
Yeah, either one. Yeah, we're not fussy.
And the show itself is he's searching for his family tree. Basically, that's what the show is about.
Yeah, yeah.
Which takes him to America, and America is okay, but the stuff in England, I think, is the best.
Well, that's very sweet of you to say. Because in a couple of weeks it will come over here.
Yeah.
And so I think that the English audience will have the opposite view of we've seen the English stuff. We want to get to America and we want to see LA and we want to see Native Americans and we want to see Civil War reenactments. So I think it's great. I think it's great that both countries get to see both countries.
Yeah. Well, I love Ed Begley Jr. He's great.
I've had it's been such a privilege to... That was one of the scariest things, is thinking, I'm going to be in a scene tomorrow that's got Christopher Guest in it, Ed Begley Jr. in it, Fred Willard in it, and then Bob Balaban coming along. And, these are the Harlem Globetrotters of improvisational comedy. These are the big boys. So it's quite scary.
Yeah, the whole gang.
Yeah, God, yeah. He's got a lot of his gang in there, and they're the best. They're the best in the biz. So it's an honor to play alongside them.
Yeah. Did you have to study the pantomime horse routine, or is that came to you?
I've been studying the pantomime horse routine for 33 years now. it's something they teach at school. It's vital.
Yeah. Because his great grandfather, I believe, was the back end of a pantomime horse.
Yes, he was the rear ender.
Rear end.
Yeah,
yeah, a rear ender, and but you got to be in the front end, so that's a little.
Different. I did. I got to wear the big head, which was a lot of fun. Incredibly difficult to see where you're going or hear anything.
No.
But hopefully the results are on screen.
Yeah, the race is hilarious, actually.
Yeah, the race is great. The race was a lot of fun.
Little panda taking it, I think, or the giraffe.
I know, and there was a giraffe there.
There was a giraffe.
There was one man in a giraffe's outfit running on two legs. How is that fair? It's not fair.
It's not fair at all.
I think Usain Bolt was in the giraffe outfit. So how will me and Chris ever meant to compete?
Impossible. The backstory between the two of you, now you are very close friends, but it's not clear why you would be exactly.
I can imagine a lot of people saying, why is he friends with him?
Yeah. What is the
backstory?
The backstory. Well, is there a backstory?
There is a backstory. They met when they were very, very young. Mm-hmm. And Tom, who is Chris O'Dowd's character, unfortunately, he had a bit too much fizzy pop and he wet himself at primary school.
Oh.
And everyone took the mickey out of him and ridiculed for him, even the teachers. But then I came along and I said, it's all right, mate. I do it all the time, sometimes on purpose. Ah. And that is where the friendship was formed.
That cemented it.
A bond that cannot be broken.
Yeah. Did you say it took...
Even though he then goes off to Ireland for 9 years.
Yeah. It took the mickey out of him, is that what you said?
Yeah, taking the mickey.
Yeah.
Taking the Michael, yeah.
How, in what sense? I mean, where does that come from?
Mocking someone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Taking the mickey, as in mocking.
Yeah. Extracting the urine.
All right, so they're close friends. And then in the show itself, he mainly messes things up for his buddy and sets him up with girlfriend, with dates.
Oh, yeah. Sets him up on terrible, terrible dates.
They're some of the worst dates I've ever seen, but they're hilarious.
Oh, they're so awfully cringeworthy.
Yeah.
I can barely watch them.
Yeah. The girl who...
You know, they're both pretty girls, but, oh, there's something wrong with them.
Yeah. The girl who likes bones.
Oh, she's the clavicle, salt in the clavicle girl. Yeah, terrible.
They're at dinner and she says, you know, look at my... She's loves bones, the shape of them, finding them, getting them for free when you get chicken.
Yeah, she gets really...
I love that.
She really likes bones.
Yeah, she's great. And then... Yeah. But the question is, how does he get these women?
How does Pete have contact with women? Yes, yeah. Well, Pete meets a lot of girls... via the zoo. There's a lot of girls go to the zoo. There's a lot of single mums go to the zoo. And basically, Pete sits at the front turnstile, the front gate, and feeds which ones he likes. And then if they're not quite up to scratch, he'll pass them straight on to Tom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are you at all worried about being typecast now as a Stupples?
Yeah, I do a fine line of lovable idiots. it does seem to be a niche I'm carving out for myself, lovable idiot. But hey, there are worse jobs, and there are worse roles to be had than lovable idiot.
Yeah, have you had those too?
I do a great psychopath as well.
A psychopath?
Yeah, the double side of the comedy and the tragedy.
Oh, no kidding.
But yeah, I love doing comedy.
Yeah.
And actually, I love playing idiots. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. I get a lot of fun out of it.
And, of course, you are associated with the Peugeot 208.
Yes, the Peugeot 208. One of my finest adverts.
What did you do?
That was great. That was a lot of fun.
What did you do with that? We didn't get that ad here. I don't think we have Peugeot.
No, you don't get it. So I play quite a timid character, and his doorbell goes at night, and he opens it, and there's a large, what looks to be a Persian rug. And he drags it in, and he cuts it open, and out of this Persian rug jumps his doppelganger, his double, his evil twin. And so I get to play both sides of the same coin. I get to play a very nervous, shy character, and this wildly outgoing idiot who gets the normal guy in a lot of trouble with girls. So yeah, there is a theme here, isn't there?
There seems to be.
If anyone's paying attention, there is a theme.
Yeah. Is that how you were trained at Guildford?
I trained at Guildford, Guildford School of Acting. Yeah, it was a great place.
Were you trained as a serious act, more a serious actor, or?
Well, the thing with most drama schools is they mainly teach you straight acting for theatre.
Mm-hmm.
So you spend 3 years of your life, training to do Chekhov and Shakespeare and these quite serious, gritty. Theatrical pieces, and then you come out of the other side, and the first job you get is on television, and it's a comedy, and suddenly you're kind of making it up as you go along.
Yeah.
But I think you tend to fall into you tend to fall into the skill set that naturally suits you best.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But do you like doing more serious roles, or is that, you know, a lot of comic actors probably do?
I think most actors love their job, and I love my job so much. I'm happy to do anything. I kind of get paid to do what used to be a hobby for me. Mm. So it's pretty good. I'll do anything. Mm. I just like working.
Yeah.
They don't even have to pay me that much, to be honest.
So you're willing to take the Mickey, is what you're saying?
Oh God, yeah, yeah. I think as an actor you have to be. I think as an actor, if you take yourself too seriously as an actor, I think you're in a lot of trouble. You're setting yourself up for a fall.
Pratfall. You probably haven't been at the Actors Studio yet, but I'm sure you will be. But I thought, can I give you a few of the questions that you're going to get?
Oh God, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, that's exciting because I do watch it. In the back of my head, I go, oh, maybe one day.
Yeah.
This is it now.
This will be prep for that. Because when you
okay,
come,
good.
Then you'll have something to say when he asks you. What is your favorite word?
Plonk is good.
Okay. What is your least favorite word?
Can't.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What turns you on?
Doing what I love doing.
And what turns you off?
What turns me off? Oh.
Good thing we're practicing, because this could not look good on the show.
Yeah, this is just dead air now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
At the Actors Studio, you don't want to do this.
Yeah, he wouldn't let me have dead space, would he?
Say anything. What turns you off?
Rubber.
Rubber.
Yeah.
Okay. What sound or noise do you love?
At the moment, I love the sound of my baby girl gurgling and making happy noises.
Okay. What sound or noise do you hate?
Her crying.
Okay. What is your favorite curse word within the parameters of public radio listenership?
Yeah, my favorite curse word is in no way in the parameters of public radio.
All right.
There's two of them, and I couldn't tell you either.
Okay. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
I always quite like the idea of architecture.
Have you studied?
Being an architect.
Have you studied for that at all?
I did graphical communication when I was a 16-year-old boy, which is kind of technical drawing. So it was, you know, it was kind of going that way.
Yeah. What profession would you not like to do?
Probably telesales.
Okay.
I don't think I'd be very good at that. No.
And finally, this is a killer one. This is when you got to, you know, so there's a good chance to get this one here. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Well done. You did a pretty good job down there. Overall, quite impressed.
Thanks, Tom. Tom Bennett, in the middle of the Sussex countryside. Very nice to talk
with
you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, love the show.
Me.
You're doing a great job, by the way.
Thank you. It's great to be in the States, even though back on just the phone. But thank you for having me.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Tom Bennett, and we leave him in the middle of the Sussex countryside there, fending off the badgers and foxes and whatever have you. Which, by the way, if you haven't seen the show, you got to watch it. It's very funny. Everybody's funny on it. He's great. He's the perfect idiot friend. He is.
The idiot and the psychopath. That's
great. Yeah, lovable idiot friend. You know, I mean, he just does everything wrong and gets
everything
wrong.
You got to check that out. Yeah,
that's great.